I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Not in communication with the president or any member of his administration with regard to the investigation of former President Trump.
No, I am not.
If President Biden asked you to take action with regard to the Trump investigation, what would your reaction be?
I am sure that that will not happen, but I would not do anything in that regard. And if necessary, I would resign. But and there is no sense that anything like that will happen.
Have you ever had to tell him, hands off these investigations, Mr. President?
No, because he has never tried to put hands on these investigations.
Well, there we go. An interview with CBS 60 Minutes with AG Merrick Garland. Scott Pelley asking good questions. I want to give Scott Pelley credit for asking some good questions, although there were some he should have asked. He did not. But those two were pretty critical. At least we got responses from Garland. I just can't wait for the flood of emails that may come out later showing, oh, yeah, they were communicating all the time. Now, I'm speculating. I don't know that exists. But looking at the track record of what's been involved with the Biden family and what they say they did versus what they did not do or what they did not do and then what they did, you get the picture. We got a lot to break down for you today. Thank you again for joining us. Here we are, October 2, 2023. This is the first hour of two of Larry Connors USA Back to Back, right here on the station. We do stream video at News Talk Facebook and News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. And if you miss any part of either one, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull up a podcast, visual, and our video. And then share. I see many of you continue to share with others. I encourage you to do so. I'm looking at responses from Oregon, from California, from Florida, from folks who've been sent some copies of the material we put up. And I appreciate you doing so. So let's begin first with what we do not have facing us, and that is a government shutdown, which was so widely expected and predicted, especially by Democrats, because they were saying it would be shut down and you can blame the Republicans as you always do. It didn't happen. Did not happen. They were fighting on different days as to how far we're going to roll it out. Schumer, of course, was even in with the Republicans in the Senate to join him pretty much for going against the Republicans in the House as to what they want to present. But it really was the House that came forward with what we are going to do is do a CR, continuing resolution, which I will state over and over again, I'm against doing this. But there are times you're not going to get a perfect bill. You will not always have a perfect bill. That's why you often end up rewriting bills or amending them. But a government shutdown, on one hand, I don't think it would have bothered, would have hurt us that much. It wouldn't have lasted long anyway. And despite the plea and the cry of the Democrats, oh my God, so many people be out of work and everything else, it really wouldn't have been that bad. Now, for an individual, yes, it could hurt. But overall for the nation, no. But let's put that aside and say we averted it for up to 45 days. The proposition as last offered by the House and put forward was we will continue operations for another 45 days and try to get all this resolved. Now, over the weekend, Kevin McCarthy did an extensive interview with CBS News. It got a little contentious. And I'm going to give you part of that a little bit later as well. But the bottom line is we are at a point here where some of the Republicans are to blame for some of the actions they're facing anyway. I'm going to be very direct with you. Republicans in the Senate and in the House. This is an opportune time for Republicans to make solid gains and advancement. And rather than circling the wagons, they have created a circular firing squad. Not a good idea. Matt Gaetz, of course, going after McCarthy, saying, I put you into office, I can take you out. He's talking about he was the one vote that put McCarthy over to become Speaker of the House after 15 different votes. Gaetz said, I will give you this vote if you will do this, 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 this. And supposedly McCarthy said, I will, I will, I will. And now Gaetz says he did not, he did not, did not. We're going to get into that in more detail in the second hour. You don't want to miss that. But back to this interview with A.G. Merrick Garland over the weekend with CBS 60 Minutes and Scott Pelley. You heard him asking Garland about, has Biden approached you at any point regarding Donald Trump and the inquiries and investigations into that? No, he has not. He has not, not to do that. And if he would, I would resign. But that's not likely to happen. I don't believe either one of the statements. But the man's entitled to answer it the way he wants. My question to you is, do you believe what A.G. Merrick Garland had to say? And then, of course, you have the issue that if Garland is so intent on justice, which he was insisting with Scott Pelley, that I'm not doing anything out of line, we're sticking strictly to this, and you're going to hear him in this answer coming up. The special prosecutor that Garland appointed was the same prosecutor he originally appointed to handle the Hunter Biden case, the same prosecutor who came up with the sweetheart deal between the DOJ and Hunter's lawyers, basically told the lawyers, why don't you guys write up what you want and we'll sign off on it. That's how much of a sweetheart deal it was. Well, thank God the judge decided, no, this does not pass the smell test. And then Hunter Biden withdrew his guilty claims, and then they reworked it, say, well, the IRS charges, a lot of them have been basically slow walked so much that now the statute of limitations has run out. And on the gun charges, well, we'll look at it a little bit differently. But I'm withdrawing my plea of guilty because apparently you're not going to let me just simply serve community time and be done with it. So we're supposed to believe that they were not taking it easy on Hunter. But something else Merrick Garland points out. David Weiss was appointed by President Trump, and I promised the Senate I wouldn't take him off the job. In other words, he wants to say, look, this is Trump's guy. You guys should expect it's being handled fairly. This is a Trump-appointed judge. Now, that's correct. He's correct about the fact. A president has nomination authority over all federal judgeships, including, of course, the U.S. Supreme Court. Does he know half of them? No. Does he rely on staff to brief him and tell him who's best? Yes. But again, the question, if you are insisting, sir, that you're not talking to Biden about anything to do with Trump and what you're going to do with Trump, and then, of course, you have the Hunter Biden question in the case, let's go back to CBS 60 Minutes and Scott Pelley with that question.
The allegation is, Mr. Attorney General, that what is described in some quarters as the Biden Justice Department is taking it easy on the president's son.
Well, look, this investigation began under David Weiss. David Weiss is a longstanding career prosecutor, and he was appointed by Mr. Trump as the United States Attorney for the District of Delaware. I promised at my nomination hearing that I would continue him on in that position and that I would not interfere with this investigation.
You are not participating in those decisions?
No, Mr. Weiss is making those decisions.
The White House is not attempting to influence those decisions?
Absolutely not.
And he said we won't have to take his word for it. Under Justice Department regulations, a special counsel must write a final report.
Which I will make public to the extent permissible under the law. That is required to explain their prosecutive decisions their decisions to prosecute or not prosecute, and their strategic decisions along the way. Usually the special counsels have testified at the end of their reports, and I expect that that will be the case here.
Did you catch that permissible to law, that I will release what's permissible to law? Inside those quote marks are a myriad of options. That's assuming that David Weiss actually does the job he's supposed to be doing and not what he knows his boss, A.G. Merrick Garland, wants done and what his boss, Joe Biden, wants done regarding Hunter Biden. The only way they're going to convince me that they're going to be absolutely fair when it comes to Hunter Biden is you put him behind bars for gun violations. We have people right now, mostly minority, locked behind bars because they lied on a gun application. I'm not a drug user, never been involved in drugs, no crime, blah, 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 blah. Those are federal violations you can be locked up for, and many are, especially minorities. Where is the outcry from the left that Hunter Biden is above the law? They're out there picketing in New York City as Trump goes to trial, and we'll get to that in a moment. No one is above the law. Joe Biden, Hunter Biden apparently are, and you guys out there picketing apparently accept that. And then we get into the question of the issue involving violence we've had across this nation. Now, part of this hinges upon the January 6th violence, the, quote, insurrection at Capitol Hill. We knew it would. But, of course, I want you to keep in mind, as Garland answers his question, the riots of 2020, the summer, this was after, of course, we had unrest over various cases involving police, both in Ferguson and Minneapolis, George Floyd, of course. But when you hear Garland's answer, more questions come up than have been answered.
People can argue with each other as much as they want and as vociferously as they want. But the one thing they may not do is use violence and threats of violence to alter the outcome. An important aspect of this is the American people themselves. The American people must protect each other. They must ensure that they treat each other with civility and kindness, listen to opposing views, argue as vociferously as they want, but refrain from violence and threats of violence. That's the only way this democracy will survive.
You know, you heard him get very emotional there. Before this hour's up, I'm going to play his response to as to why so emotional over that point. He's almost cheerful, wasn't he? But before we do that, if he's talking about being against violence and putting a stop to violence, look away from January 6th. Look away to false charges made against parents who showed up at school board meetings complaining that their children are being indoctrinated by CRT. Look away from parents who were being charged with causing violence when there was no violence or making people fearful inside a school board meeting when they had no reason to be fearful. People were speaking up. They weren't setting the building on fire. Compare all of that to what we saw during the summer of 2020 when we had basically, I'm looking at the latest numbers here, something like 18,000 or 13,000 supposedly arrests. I don't know how many were actually convicted. Something like 200 federal buildings damaged between May and July 2020. It was not just BLM, it was Antifa. I don't see anything about how many were convicted for such damage to federal facilities that would be under A.G. Merrick Garland. They just don't seem to exist. You wonder why? Oh, you know why. Well, of course, another big story which started unfolding today. Donald Trump goes to court in New York City.
This is a continuation of the single greatest witch hunt of all time. We have a rogue judge who rules that properties are worth a tiny fraction, 1/100, a tiny fraction of what they actually are. We have a racist attorney general who's a horror show, who ran on the basis that she was going to get Trump before she even knew anything about me. She used this to run for governor. She failed in her attempt to run for governor. She had virtually no polling. She came back and she said, well, now I'll go back to get Trump again. And this is what we have. It's a scam. It's a sham.
The words of Donald Trump before he walks into court. Letitia James is the attorney general he was referring to. And yes, she did during her campaign, even raised money off of it. I will nail Donald Trump's scalp, that flock of hair, to the door of the attorney general's office. And the charges he's basically facing is that he overinflated the estimated value of his buildings to get better loans. Now, I will tell you this, there's not a shrewd businessman anywhere in the nation that does not overestimate the value of their property. A bank that's doing due diligence will find out if you're claiming your property is worth $500 million and it's barely worth $25,000, you've got a big discrepancy. You would have the same big discrepancy if you claim it's $18 billion worth when it's only $1 billion or even $1 million. But Donald Trump says what they're doing is trying to find the man to fit the crime.
Just so you know, my financial statements are phenomenal. They are actually less in terms of the numbers used than the actual net worth. The actual net worth is substantially more. No bank was affected. No bank was hurt. They don't even know why they have to be involved. And they've so testified. They can't believe that they're involved because they were paid back on time. There were no defaults. There were no problems. And it was like a perfect client. In the meantime, people are being murdered all over the sidewalks of New York. There was no victim here. The banks were represented by the best, biggest, most prestigious law firms in the state of New York, actually in the country. Some of the biggest and best law firms, in all cases, the biggest and best law firms. That's who represented them. The banks got back their money. Again, there was never a default. There was never a problem. Everything was perfect. There was no crime. The crime is against me.
And the American people who support him. And he also mentioned, of course, you got murders all over New York City. And all the time and efforts have been put into getting Donald Trump. Same thing down in Georgia and Atlanta with all the crimes against citizens. And, of course, they've got their cases they're building against Donald Trump. Justice is not being served for citizens in either location. It's not. In our next hour, battle for the U.S. border versus the battle for Ukraine. Which should come first? Also, John LeBoutier joining us, the author of Harvard Hates America. He says it is time to wake up and see what is happening inside our schools. And to that point, my next guest asks, can the LGBT community help defeat Biden's war against women and children? Would they? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well,
with Wellington.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let me take a moment to give you some background before I introduce my guest. He's representing the James G. Martin Center for Academic Renewal. That is a nonprofit institute dedicated to improving higher education in North Carolina, the nation, located in Raleigh, North Carolina. It was previously known as a John W. Pope Center for Higher Education Policy, trying to increase diversity of ideas taught, debated, discussed on campus, and focusing primarily on North Carolina. But what they're doing also is saying we need to look beyond the North Carolina borders. Now, that's the way they build themselves. And my guest has written a piece on behalf of some of these universities talking about what they do and don't do. And I stand corrected that. I just set my guest up. He's probably thinking, what the hell? I'm sorry, I got my guest mixed up here. My apologies. My guest is Edward Bartlett, founder of SAVE. That's an operation based on fairness and due process on college campuses. Ed, thanks for joining us, and please forgive my false setup for you.
No problem, Larry.
So I'm looking at a piece that you wrote that really does draw attention. Can the LGBTQ plus community help defeat Biden's war against women and children? First of all, would they help do so?
So, Larry, would you say your question again?
Well, I'm basing it off of your title that says, can the LGBT community help defeat Biden's war against women and children? Would the LGBT community be willing to do so?
Well, actually, the answer is emphatically yes. There's a growing number of LGBT activists and advocates who are dead set against the Biden Title IX plan. Let me explain what I mean by that. First of all, Title IX is the federal law that's designed to end sex discrimination. That's good. But what's happened is that Biden is now working to not only politicize, but weaponize Title IX. And the way he's doing that is he wants to change the definition of sex to include gender identity.
Well, that's been a big push of LGBTQ, though. The more they expand gender ideology, the more members they have.
Well, that's very true. So this very simple idea is having enormous ramifications throughout our society. It's having ramifications in women's sports. It's having ramifications on campus due process for falsely accused men. It's having ramifications in terms of gender transitioning. It's having effects on families because schools now refuse to tell parents about the changes their kids. I mean, it's an absolute Pandora's box that's been opened by this one Title IX proposal from the Biden administration.
Well, let's get some clear understanding here. Some of the LGBT community says that we're kind of far what Biden's doing. Others are saying it's betraying us. It's forcing us into a position we don't want to be in. And then we're not dealing with our issues. We're having to get involved in a sports debate as opposed to gender issue. Is that correct?
That's very correct. And let me explain what's going on here. So we all know this unwieldy acronym, LGBTQI+, right?
Yeah.
Well, you can't put all those letters together because they have very different interests. So remember that the L and the G came along first, and it was only years later that the T, transgender, was added. Well, this Title IX proposal is now splitting the L and the G, that is the lesbian and the gay, separating them from the transgender. So now we have groups like gays against groomers that are dead set gays against groomers. We're talking about the L and the G against the T, right? The transgender groomers. Why are they opposed to that? Because they don't believe in grooming underage kids and turning them into, you know, basically biological freaks.
Let me push on that point, because you do quote in your piece the leader of the D.C. chapter for that, Gays Against Groomers, saying, "We do not advocate against adults who have a gender dysphoria, but we do advocate for protecting children. And if you truly care and want to support those that need guidance, you will not take our young people and use them to push a gender ideology." I hear applause from a large section of my audience, even as I say those words.
Exactly. And so, yeah, and that was Brady Oler. He was speaking at SAVE's press conference 2 weeks ago, September 21st. We invited him there because he knew that he was very concerned. He and his organization are very concerned about what's happening to vulnerable underage youth and children. They're being exploited in order to promote a gender ideology.
All right, so they accept and understand and acknowledge there is a group that is trying to groom children.
Exactly, and I don't think anybody would really dispute that notion.
What they may not dispute it, but they'll say, well, we're getting them acquainted to life as it will be.
Well, okay, that's true, but you know, it there's so much here that simply flies in the face of science, that disregards basic concepts of parental rights, that ignores that we have a constitution in our country that protects due process and free speech, on and on and on. So this group really comes across as a totalitarian ideology. It has nothing to do with tolerance, because if they believed in tolerance and acceptance, they would be saying, "Oh, well, we simply want to participate in sports. So if a school administrator says, 'Oh, well, fine, we'll set up competitions against other transgenders,' no, they will say absolutely not. They say we will only accept competitions against female athletes. Well, there's no logic and there's no fairness in that. It's like saying, so, you know, 10-year-old kids can compete against 5-year-old kids. Well, that's just ridiculous.
So I want to make sure we have a clear understanding. Your basic premise is that many members of the LGBT community acknowledge that trying to push transgenderism as a reason for a boy, born a boy, to participate in girls' sports is wrong?
Only the L and the G.
Okay. So all the rest of the alphabet says, yes, let's do everything.
Well, certainly the T's, the transgenders, you know, they're pushing this ideology, this gender ideology. But the L's and the G's, the lesbian and the gays, are not on board with that ideology.
How do, are they planning on separating from the rest of the alphabet?
Well, that's actually being discussed. Of course, they don't want that to be public knowledge.
Of course not. Yeah.
Yeah, they're very unhappy with their transgender quote colleagues for pushing this ideology.
I have some gay friends, and they've expressed that to me as well. Now, again, right. you're listening to Ed Bartlett. He's founder of SAVE. Now, SAVE's mission is to assure that every student and faculty member is afforded constitutional protections. So what we're seeing happen now is what Biden is trying to do is a violation of constitutional protection.
Exactly. And let me explain what we mean by that. So first, the First Amendment, of course, protects free speech. Well, I'm sure you and your listeners have heard of pronoun mandates. Well, coerced speech is not free speech. If you are coerced to use certain words, that violates your free speech rights. So that violates the First Amendment. In addition, the Biden proposal seeks to eliminate a whole range of due process protections. That's 14th Amendment, of course. Wants to eliminate due process protections for falsely accused male students in college.
Now, you also, inside your article, point out, you're quoting a proponent, Patricia McCormick, a reference to rise of transgender activism, and saying that the death of the human species, wow, this is wild, the death of the human species is the most life-affirming event that could liberate the natural world from oppression. What gibbledygook is that exactly?
I think your word gibbledygook is the perfect word. So not only is this movement totalitarian, not only is it based in Marxist ideology, but it's also based in what's called anti-humanism. And maybe your listeners have never heard that word before, but it's a real thing. And basically there's this previously very obscure branch of philosophy has now come out into the open. And Patricia McCormick, as you just quoted, said the death of the human species is the most life-affirming event that could liberate the natural world from oppression. Now, I know it is totally crazy, but you know, think about it. You know, think about all.
Well, I don't need to think about it. I know they think about it. We all know where that leads. That means zero population.
Exactly. And you've heard these proposals. We have to kill off all of the cows, yeah. And we need to cut back on agriculture. Well, that all comes from the same anti-humanism ideology.
Yeah, and I think we're moving closer to, you know, a time where, again, we're eating our own, literally. Listen, I want to thank you very much for your time. Again, it's Ed Bartlett, founder of SAVE. I strongly encourage you to look them up for more details. Ed will do another interview with you in the future. Thank you very much. Coming up, Face the Nation against McCarthy.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry. Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I've bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi is really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
People, keep on learning. Soldier, keep on warring. Whoa.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There is a lot to get to with you. I want to start, though, on the news this morning from Congressman Matt Gaetz, who says he's going to seek a motion to vacate. He's going to try to oust you as Speaker of the House.
That's nothing new. He's tried to do that from the moment I ran for office. Look.
Well, this time he says he's going to keep going. May not get there before the 15th ballot, but it took 15 for Kevin McCarthy. He says he's coming for you. Can you survive?
Yes, I'll survive. You know, this is personal with Matt. Matt voted against the most conservative ability to protect our border, secure our border. He's more interested in securing TV interviews than doing something. He wanted to push us into a shutdown, even threatening his own district with all the military people there who would not be paid, only because he wants to take this motion. So be it. Bring it on. Let's get over with it, and let's start governing. If he's upset because he tried to push us in a shutdown, and I made sure government didn't shut down, then let's have that fight.
Well, let's have that fight, and of course we can continue to debate as to if the government shutdown would have been that harmful. But as I mentioned in the beginning of this hour, the GOP, with or without Matt Gaetz and some of those following him, and you could add Marjorie Taylor Greene possibly to that, but let's just focus on Gaetz for a moment because he's the one leading the charge, basically saying that he might go on the floor and call for a vote of confidence or no confidence in McCarthy. Any member of Congress can do that at any point. Doesn't mean it will be accepted and voted up. Doesn't mean it would be voted down. But Gaetz did say Sunday on CNN, CNNN with Jake Tapper, saying that McCarthy is still the Speaker of the House, but if he's going to be continue serving, it's going to be at the pleasure of the Democrats. He will be working for the Democrats. The only way Kevin McCarthy is Speaker of the House at the end of this coming week is if Democrats bail him out. So Tapper said, so if you succeed in vacating him, you also have to make a deal with the Democrats. You're going to have to get Democrat votes to kick him out. And he said, yeah, I will have to deal with Democrats, but I'm going to concede no terms to them. I'd mentioned this when they were going through these many votes for McCarthy to become Speaker of the House. I said, if they keep going at this rate, and this before McCarthy became Speaker, took 15 ballots, and the one vote that put him over to become Speaker was Matt Gaetz. And if it took as many ballots as it did, the question was, could they all do a pivot and say, bring in Democrat Hakeem Jeffries and make a Democrat the leader of a House membership controlled by Republicans? It wasn't just a stupid idea in my head. It was a possibility. And I'm looking at the way Gates is trying to play this. I'm not sure we couldn't end up with that thing again. As I said, rather than circling the wagons, we've started a circular firing squad. So the government is going to continue. No shutdown so far. You know how I love that phrase. So far. 45 days as set by the proposal by McCarthy. McCarthy still says the Democrats have yet to do one solid thing. He appeared on the weekend on CBS News. In the next hour, you're going to want to hear snippets of that. It did get very contentious, but McCarthy held his ground, and you may or may not agree with him, but it's worth hearing what he had to say. That's in the next hour. The other issue is that getting any bill passed, of course, the Democrats, Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer, wanted a clean bill. Clean bill means no cut in spending, keep the old Nancy Pelosi budget in place, and don't saddle us with having to increase border security money. And don't forget, more money for Ukraine. The American people, by most polls recently, show they're getting a little tired of sending all this money for Ukraine when, one, we don't know for sure how it's being spent, and, two, how many people in this country are suffering, and more are every day because of Bidenomics, and now the United Auto Workers strike. That's not going to help. And we've got all these migrants that supposedly New York City, they're saying we can't be a migrant city or state anymore. And yet they invited and created the issue, along with other blue city mayors and governors and all the blue leadership, saying, open our borders. We don't want a border anymore. Anyone can come in. What a stupid idea. On face value, it was a stupid idea. All you had to do is see what happened in Germany when the premier decided, we're going to open up to every migrant. And they got flooded. And finally, Merkel had to say, that was a bad idea. She actually admitted it. Joe Biden can't seem to find those words. Mayor Adams of New York City is trying to put it in his face. Bad idea. Bad, 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 bad. Now New York Governor Hochul is saying, well, remember, we are a nation built of migrants, and other New Yorkers, you need to step up and help out New York City. I would ask New Yorkers outside New York City, how much are you paying in taxes? How much more do you want to pay? Good luck with that. They're not going to like it either. But the issue was brought up on the floor and argued back and forth between Henry Cuellar, Democrat, congressman of Texas. He lives on the border. He knows and understands the border crisis. And you're going to hear more from him also in the second hour. But Marjorie Taylor Greene is trying to put it in a perspective that she thinks appeals to most Americans.
I deeply sympathize with the innocent people in Ukraine, especially since our government is forcing a proxy war there by funding and fueling a war instead of pushing peace in this country. However, America is facing our own war at our southern border, and we cannot stand to address every global crisis when our own house is not in order, yet safe. We cannot afford to violate our own immigration laws on behalf of a global crisis, especially a global crisis that the United States government is fueling and funding. The United States is fueling the war in Ukraine by sending tanks, ammunition, F-16s, and over $113 billion taxpayer dollars and counting, especially when the debate in Washington and the argument is about more money for Ukraine.
That is a big part of the budget battle. And again, the domino theory is real. That was what was put in front of us during the Vietnam years, and it is true. Putin does want to go beyond Ukraine. And do we fight against it? How, to what extent? But the money we've committed already, a $113 billion, while we have shut down our own oil and gas drilling and use of our facilities? No, there's a lot of common sense that is lacking. Now, I mentioned earlier, during that 60-minute interview A.G. Merrick Garland gave with Scott Pelley, he got very emotional when it came to talking about what Americans must do to protect democracy in this land. You're going to hear what he had to say and my reaction coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Why do you feel so strongly about that?
Well, I feel it for a number of reasons and a number of things that I've seen. But for my own family who fled religious persecution in Europe, and some members who did not survive when they got to the United States. The United States guaranteed that they could practice their religion, that they could vote, they could do all the things they thought a democracy would provide. That's the difference between this country and many other countries. And it's my responsibility, it's the Justice Department's responsibility to ensure that that difference continues, that we protect.
Now, that was A.G. Merrick Garland in response to a prior question saying that what he needed to do, what we need to do in this country is stop violence. He didn't mention January 6th specifically, but that's what he was seeing as violence. And there is where I said earlier in the hour that while Scott Pelley did a good job of asking questions, there were some he did not, or they got left on the editing floor. What about the violence of summer 2020? Were all the charges against those that were causing riots and attacking federal officers trying to burn down a federal building when they knew they were in it? How many have been convicted and charged with that compared to January 6th and the Capitol Hill event? So Garland is saying you shouldn't be doing what happened January 6th because that was against what my people who survived Germany, and I feel for the loss of his family. I'm going to accept that he's sincere at that point. But what about all these that you've let go because they are members of the left, not the right? Perfect example. The whole point, they say, the January 6th was to, well, first of all, they call it an insurrection. It was not an insurrection. But they say they were trying to disrupt the legitimate processes of our democracy. Voter fraud is the same thing. The FBI telling the major networks and social media Hunter Biden laptop doesn't exist. It's all Russian collusion information. When they knew damn well it did. That's interfering with democracy. But let me give you a more recent case of someone who should right now be held and charged on a federal crime. Congressman Jamal Bowman, Democrat in New York. You know what he did over the weekend? They were in the process of trying to vote in the House on McCarthy's bill and trying to move forward and keep the government from shutting down. And he said, well, I was trying to get inside to get my vote counted, and I made a mistake. What he did was he ripped down two signs warning a second floor door in the Cannon office building was for emergency use only. And then he pulled the fire alarm going out a different door on a different floor. It's all on video. It triggered a full-scale law enforcement and emergency services response, evacuation of the building. Sources say that photographs show the emergency door and everything had been restored. There is a sign that says emergency exit only. It's right there in front of the doors, a large sign on a pedestal. To its left is the fire alarm. You've seen fire alarms. You know what they look like. And it says, obviously, on the fire alarm, fire, big words, fire, push in, pull down. In other words, to sound the alarm. The doors themselves say, emergency exit only. Activating this will trigger a fire alarm. How in the hell could he miss all of this? Well, you want to look for some allowances? You want to give him some credit or at least excuse? He was elected to Congress in January 2021, his first day. So let's say he's not really a freshman anymore. He's been there since 2021. We are now past January 2023, and he doesn't know what those doors are. Aside from that, does he not know since he was a kid that's a fire alarm? You pull it only in case of an emergency, and yet he did pull it. There's a video of him pulling the alarm. That's been released by Capitol Police. And two signs that are normally affixed to the door are not there. According to one source, he ripped both of them off the door, threw them on the floor, leaned into the door, tried to open it. Then he pulled the alarm. When it goes off, he goes running around, goes out a different door on his way to go vote. At no point did he say, sorry, it's a mistake. Sorry, I pulled the alarm by mistake. He didn't say anything until confronted by Capitol Police. He caused the entire building to be evacuated. And it caused confusion and doubt as to should we continue our voting here in the House. That is interference. I don't see a federal charge, one, being pressed against him right now. He has now been in Congress nearly 3 years, aside from what he should have known as a youth, a fire alarm, when you pull it, that's a real emergency. And doing it as a joke is wrong. In fact, can be a crime. And if you are a member of Congress and you're trying to stall or delay action on a vote that you might not like in the House, that is interfering with Congress, the same exact thing. Put it this way. What would have happened to anyone on January 6th if they had pulled the fire alarm in the Capitol? Oh, they would be buried in a jail cell somewhere right now as we speak. You know that. But again, oh, our bad. It's a leftist. Let it go. Coming up in the next hour, more of the Scott Pelley interview with Garland, but focusing primarily on the Face the Nation interview with McCarthy and the battle with Gates. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.